ask a stupid question. That's what they say. That's what they say. With my apologies to any lawyers or among us today, I have a few stupid questions I'd like to share with you that come from real courtroom scenes, courtrooms. Listen to these questions. Now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning? And the answer is, did you actually pass the bar exam? Another question. So the date of conception of the baby was August 8th. Is that correct? Yes. And what were you doing at the time? She had three children, right? Yes. How many were boys? None. Were there any girls? Sir, how was your first marriage terminated? By death. And by whose death was it terminated? This is a good one. Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? Well, all my autopsies were performed on dead people. Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. Then it is possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on a jar on my desk. But could the patient still have been alive nevertheless? Yes, it is possible. He could still be alive and practicing law somewhere. Sometimes we get asked stupid questions. Sometimes we ask stupid questions, don't we? Jesus is asked a silly, stupid question, riddle, trick question one day by some Sadducees. The Sadducees were a sect of the Jewish faith who were very legalistic. They were part of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish council, along with the Pharisees. We hear more about the Pharisees than we do the Sadducees. But the Sadducees focused primarily on only the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, or the Pentateuch. And they did not believe in the resurrection, the life after death. They did not believe in angels or heavenly beings or even demons, let alone life after death. And they certainly didn't believe in the resurrection. And as we told the children, that's why they were sad, you see. Very good, very good. In many ways, the Sadducees were like many people in our world today. They don't think about the hereafter. They don't either believe or worry about life beyond this life. They're only worried about getting their needs met here and partying and living life to the fullest and, you know, saying there's no time for God now. I'll take care of that when I'm older. I'll get right with God one of these days. You've heard that expression, I'm sure. In response to that, let me ask a couple of stupid questions. Did you wake up here in church this morning fully dressed and ready to go? I was here at 7 o'clock, Joyce. I didn't see any of you here fully dressed and ready. You retirees, those of you that are retired, did you wake up one morning and all of your retirement money was suddenly in a special account ready for you to enjoy the remainder of your days on earth? I don't think so. Wasn't there preparation this morning to get ready to come here? Wasn't there preparation so that you could enjoy your retirement or semi-retirement from your jobs, from your careers? Well, so does eternal life. Heaven, the resurrection requires some preparation, some dedication as well. You see, the Sadducees come to Jesus one day and they try to trip him up with this silly question, a riddle, if you will, to show the silliness of this resurrection stuff that Jesus and his disciples have been teaching and preaching about. Now, they're focusing on a particular law called Levirate law, which says that if a woman, if a woman's husband dies, this is in the Jewish faith, in the Jewish tradition, if a woman's husband dies and they have no children, that woman must be married by the man's brother. And they said, well, this man had seven brothers. He died, left his wife childless. Brother number two has to marry her. He dies, no children. Brother number three dies, no children. This is a hypothetical now. This is a hypothetical that they're throwing at Jesus. They said, all seven die, leaving her childless. Now, Jesus, whose wife is she in the resurrection? Whose wife is she in the resurrection? The one, if they just had one child, that would have made her his wife. But no, there were none. It was really a stupid question as far as Jesus was concerned. But Jesus, out of love and concern and the teachable moment, you teachers know those teachable moments, Jesus shares with them a profound truth about the resurrection, about heaven, about the life hereafter. He knew their hearts and he knew what they were trying to do. And he gave them a good, accurate, and correct answer. Jesus says, people marry and are given in marriage in this life. Why? Procreation. To populate the earth. To be in that covenantal relationship here on earth. But he says, in the resurrection, in the life beyond this one, there's no need for marriage. There is no need for procreation. Because we're in heaven. Because we are walking around with Jesus. We are singing praises to God. We are with that great cloud of witnesses singing and praising God. In the resurrection, it is not like here. We are like angels. Like angels, he says. He says, doesn't say we turn into angels. A lot of people kind of get that kind of messed up. He says we're like angels. That is, heavenly beings walking around praising God. And we will know each other. How many of you have ever been asked, will we know each other in heaven? Will I know my grandma, grandfather, my husband, my wife, my child? Will we recognize each other? The answer is yes. How do we know this? Well, somehow, some way, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus took Peter, Paul, I almost said Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, James, and John up the mountain with him. They recognized Moses. They recognized Elijah, the prophet. And in the New Testament, did the disciples not recognize Jesus after his resurrection? Jesus, when he came into the room, when he stood on the beach cooking breakfast for them. Jesus uses the Torah in his defense to these Sadducees. He demonstrates from the Torah that people are indeed raised to eternal life. He uses one of their own stories from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, when Moses is approached by God through the burning bush that was not consumed. You know the story, some of you? Most of you know that story? What does God, or Moses asked, who is sending me? Who's calling me? And God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus says, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And this is clear evidence that these people that have gone on before us are indeed alive. They are not dead. They are alive in the spiritual realm, in the eternal, in the resurrection. For you see, God, Jesus said, is not the God of the dead. We talked about Samhain last week, remember? The pagan God of the dead. No, no, God is the God, our God, the God of the Bible is the God of the living. How many of you have seen the movie Sixth Sense? I didn't see the whole thing. I saw some clips of it on YouTube yesterday and looking at this. It's a wonderful movie. I can't wait to get it, download it, rent it, or something. Do you even rent movies anymore? I think you download them now. You tell how old I am. But this little boy can see dead people walking around on earth. Right? You seen the movie, some of you? He sees dead people. Well, Jesus is saying it's kind of like that in the resurrection. No, dead people are not walking up and down the aisles here, you know, in this life. But he says in the resurrection, people are walking around, spiritual beings like angels, praising God, waiting for Jesus' return, waiting for Jesus' second coming, waiting for that trumpet to blow. When Jesus shall descend from the heavens from which he came, and to raise up the dead from their graves, to meet the people alive at that time and all of the countless multitudes in the sky when he comes back. They're waiting and watching for Jesus' return and final judgment. Today is a day of remembrance. Today we remember our veterans, those of you, those we know, those who have served our country. Thank Eddie Millett for this beautiful flag that he's donated to the church and one in the sanctuary as well. Remembering those among us, our friends, our family members today in just a little bit, those who have passed from our church family into that great church triumphant. But also it's a day to remember what Jesus did for us, that we may have the hope of resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus has given us that hope by faith and trust in what he did on the cross. And this meal that has been prepared for you, it's been prepared by human hands, but Jesus is the host. Jesus is the one who is here with us today in the symbols of this bread and this wine. And today, we're here to remember those who have not passed away. They have not passed away. They are not dead. They are as alive as Jesus is alive. How do we know they're alive? Because Jesus lives. How do we know that they're with God? Because they had faith. And they put their faith and trust in Jesus. And these folks we're going to remember today are indeed here in something the Bible calls that great cloud of witnesses. Oh, somebody woke up. Cheering us on. Cheering on God's people. Saying, hang in there. Stand firm and hold fast. Run the race with perseverance. Yeah, it may be dark down in that valley, but we made it. And so can you. Cheering us on. That's the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on today. And today, as you come forward to receive the bread and the cup, give thanks to God for your hope, the hope that is within you. Give thanks to God for the promise and the assurance that when you die, you immediately go to the resurrection and be with Jesus. Don't leave here today if you don't have that assurance. Don't leave here today without that hope